Elon Musk is back in charge of OpenAI. Well, he's trying to. And ransomware is making the U.S. prescription market much easier. No, it's not. And Kaseya has finally proven how important cybersecurity is. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the March 5th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. My name is Tony Francisco and I'm joined by my amazing co-host, the leader of the industry, Mr. Ray Orsini. Ray, how are you
doing? Oh shit, you're talking about me.
You. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I feel rested. I'm doing my little Zen garden here. I went to Disney this weekend doing my little Zen garden, which is harder than it looks. Yeah. You know, the little rakes with the sand and the whole thing?
No.
It's harder. Oh, come on. You've seen this. He's just f***ing with me now, dude. So I got my little Zen garden and I got my little, like my little rake so I can do, you know, this stuff. And it's actually harder than it looks.
Is that the gentle side of Ray? That's the gentle side of Ray.
You have to, because you can't just dig in the rake and just go because it creates these piles. So you have to have the lightest touch, especially like when you start to do turns and stuff. And I learned about Kenzu, and I learned about a bunch, because of course I get this and I watch a bunch of YouTube videos, ADHD and me. So I go to YouTube and I start watching these videos. And apparently there's a whole thing of like asymmetry. You know, when you find these Japanese Zen gardens, it's everything is asymmetrical as opposed to symmetrical. Nothing is obvious. Everything is meant to incite thought, right? It's made to create thoughtfulness. So I've been kind of taking breaks like once an hour and just, you know, raking along and just give myself some peace time. And it works.
That is awesome. You are actually, okay. So for the MSP community, I'm just pointing this out. Something that I never would have considered is just start raking.
Just go
out. Just go to your neighbor's
place.
You're
raking on your desk, you're raking the cash. That's exactly. The next book from Carl Palachuk. Carl, you're welcome. I want that one. Tony, let's land this plane, as you say. Let's get into the news.
Let's get into some news. We got some good stories.
And my first top story, Elon Musk sues OpenAI, accusing it of abandoning founding principles, in a story written by Shubham Sharma for VentureBeat. Billionaire Elon Musk has sued OpenAI, alleging that their partnership with Microsoft prioritizes profit over their original mission of developing artificial general intelligence, or AGI, for humanity's benefit. The lawsuit points out that previous communications with OpenAI's CEO Sam Altman expressed shared concerns about the risks of superhuman machine intelligence, or SMI. Additionally, this legal action stems from Musk's previous criticism of OpenAI's alleged partnership with Microsoft. In response to these concerns, Musk has launched xAI, an AI venture focused on understanding the universe rather than profit. And despite being in its early stages, xAI has attracted talent from prominent AI organizations. Tony, this is the same guy that bought Twitter, can't make it profitable. He has SpaceX, which is doing well. SpaceX, it had its challenges also. And he also thinks we're living in the Matrix. So how much of this... he's got a competing product. How much of this do we take as serious and how much do we take it as hemming and hawing? Which, let's be honest, Elon does.
I feel like we're stuck in a talking cul-de-sac. Now, for those of you who didn't understand the dolphins that were there, I just feel like it's just constant smack talking and I don't know what's happening. I think the irony in that entire statement is your opening sentence, which is he's suing them because they are prioritizing profit over the original mission of developing, something of substance and quality. When now we have the Cybertruck, which he admittedly, he's like, ooh, you know, I think he said
that was a misstep.
Yeah, we dug our own, you know, we created our own grave right there. And so I think he's rushing in some aspects as well due to profit because he has legal obligations. And that same exact thought or impetus may be what's driving OpenAI, because OpenAI, there have been rumors that they'll go out of business in a certain amount of time. Then Microsoft, Uncle Gates comes along and says, hey, we can fund this. And then you start hearing rumors about ChatGPT 5.0 and society's not ready for 5. And then you've got Sora and, and you've got, you know, Wally and Dolly. And then this is going to be the Autobots connections. It's going to be something huge. And they're talking about SMI. I think all of this is happening, but I think there is this natural impetus drive to create profit. And I just find it ironic that Musk, of all people, is pointing that out. You and I could be saying the same thing. We could be totally in disagreement. What are your thoughts on this, Ray?
No, you hit the nail on the head, as usual. And Musk is looking for $6 billion, not putting his own money. He's looking to raise from investors $6 billion. Investors don't do it 100% for altruism. They have to have some return. Not for greed, not for capitalism, even though, yes, that has something to do with it. But you also need to create revenue so you can invest in other things. That is a normal way of life, right? So I look at this and I can't take it seriously. I just can't. When you have, and especially I wonder how valid this lawsuit, how seriously it's going to be taken by the courts when we just did this exercise. OpenAI's board kicked out Sam Altman for the exact same reasons. And they went hightailing back saying, please, please, please come back. So if OpenAI itself has recognized that it's not bad and Microsoft has been willing to back away and say, you know what? You want to kick Sam Altman? No problem. We'll do our own thing. We'll hire him. We'll hire everybody else and we'll keep going. So it's not even an OpenAI thing. What is he looking to accomplish from this? Because what happens if he wins? OpenAI gets shut down. Microsoft has to invest from OpenAI. Okay. They'll do their own thing just like he's doing.
Maybe they'll go buy Anthropic or maybe, you know, for Claude.com. Maybe they're going to buddy up with Gemini and Google for the first time ever. They're actually, because right now I don't see any true, because before Office was that ripping point between Google and Microsoft. Oh, you know, the Microsoft, the email and the Office, and we're going to argue for the, no, that's not there anymore. You know, I think now you have these enemies that were such enemies before, they could actually be buddying up. And because you had Google going against Microsoft, you had Microsoft try to spin up their own Facebook competitor, Google try to create its Facebook competitor. Everyone hated each other, but then they've all kind of created their own little symmetry in their swim lanes. And I think now is the time when that buddying can occur if it's required. Just my opinion, just my observation. And I'm fascinated to see how things progress.
Well, and I wonder, you know, there was that little AI purchase last week that we talked about for Microsoft where they bought Mistral. And now in this context, I wonder if the two have something to do with each other. And stay tuned because we have some amazing feedback regarding exactly that story. But for now, Tony, do me a favor, take over this. I got to go fill my prescription. I hope nothing has changed. I'll be back.
Yeah, should be easy. Getting a subscription may not be as easy as it could be. In my first story from ArsTechnica.com, the U.S. prescription market is hamstrung for 9 days so far by ransomware attacks. A Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate has paralyzed the largest U.S. healthcare payment processor for 9 days, affecting pharmacies, healthcare providers, and patients seeking essential medicines. Following this, United Health Group accused the ransomware gang Alpha, or Black Cat, of hacking its subsidiary Optum, which provides the nationwide network change healthcare. As a result, the outage disrupted insurance claim management, forcing pharmacies to resort to alternative methods. Optum disclosed a cyber attack on February 21st, and the services were restored on March 1st. Change Healthcare processes 15 billion transactions, including eligibility verifications, pharmacy operations, and claims transmittals. And despite law enforcement efforts to disrupt Alpha, the group remains a threat, as shown by the extensive impact on Change Healthcare. Ray, let's kind of lift the hood and peek under this a little bit. You and I have talked about ransomware exploitations. We've talked about firmware updates. We've talked about just keeping your password updated and rotated, not just at the end application level, but also at the, you know, the centralized admin level. I feel like this is moving further and further into the heart of America as a whole. And we're talking about healthcare systems. We've talked about supply chain management, not at a software level, but literally at a food level. I think there was an oil production line that kind of went down a while ago. I feel like over the last 2 years, you and I have seen this move deeper and deeper into America as a whole. What are your thoughts on this? Because I don't see this getting any better. In fact, I see it getting worse, and it's very concerning to me.
It's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You're saying the story, and besides checking my prescriptions, but you know, as I'm looking at this Colonial Pipeline, yes, the 2021 attack on Colonial Pipeline is the first thing that comes to mind. Also the attack on the Water District. I forget which one it was. Both of which had the offending groups come out and say that they did not intend to attack those targets, that they were, how did they put it? The TLDR was, those are targets they don't want to attack because it brings some wrath that they're just not looking for.
Brings too much attention. Listen, hold on. It was a new guy that he shouldn't have hit that button. Yeah. Shouldn't have hit that button.
There's a difference between fashionably late and being the D-bag that shows up after the ceremony, right? Like there's, and to their credit, we've said this a million times, a lot of these groups are very, very business savvy. So it makes sense. There's certain things that are just some juices that are just not worth the squeeze, so to speak. So I get it. I completely get. And I'm wondering, are we going to see that here? Are we going to see a mea culpa in a month saying we did not intend to go after this? Because they've gone after healthcare before. That's not new. They've gone after big healthcare systems like DHS. But there's going to be some events that I think are just hands off. And I wonder if this is going to be one of them. Am I hoping? Am I just being a little too glasses half full kind of guy?
I think you're on it. I think the one thing we can both agree on is that we've been doing enough stories. I mean, we're almost at 200 stories. It's not like we're not on top of this. Everyone says that they see the news, but we're actually reporting on the news, and we're spreading the news, and we're sharing the news, and we're getting these feedback from our peers. So we're almost like a lightning rod in the middle of all of this. Consequently, I think we have just a couple degrees, a couple shades of color more than most, even though our community is so well engaged. I think we can agree that things are getting worse, but we have to focus on education. We have to focus on fundamentals of security. We have to focus on going back and remembering the law, the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Without proper management, natural disorder will occur. So you have to go back, even though you've done the fundamentals, go back once in a while and make sure that those fundamentals are corrected and reinforced. But I think cybersecurity is everything. And this is kind of where I transition over to you, Ray. I think rather than stress about this story, I think we should hear something about cybersecurity. Please, please, please tell me it's important and others see it as well as us. Your turn.
It's almost like a major multi-billion dollar organization had a whole report around cybersecurity put out, and we may have early access to it. Cybersecurity is so important that Kaseya had a whole report written about it. This Kaseya report reveals cybersecurity is a top revenue driver for MSPs. That's right, Kaseya's 2024 MSP benchmark report highlights cybersecurity roles as a top revenue driver for most MSPs and its impact on IT professionals' tasks. Among 1,000 surveyed MSPs globally, 73% see cybersecurity as a primary revenue source, reflecting its market importance, while 78% consider cyber threats a top concern, highlighting the need for continuous investment in protective technologies. Notably, fewer SMBs face cyber attacks due to these investments, leading clients to increasingly seek cybersecurity guidance from MSPs. Moreover, the survey shows that 85% of participants prioritize automation, with 67% highlighting core MSP application integration. And despite 33% of IT professionals intending to use AI for streamlining tasks, 37% of MSPs find its implementation challenging, stressing the importance of skilled hires and adaptation to stay competitive. Tony, we were fortunate enough to have Kaseya send over this report in advance, so we had some time to read it before it went live today at the time of this broadcast. These numbers, do you find them interesting? You have 33% of IT professionals say they want to use AI, 37% of MSPs saying it's too hard to implement, 85% say they prioritize automation, though, and 67% are focusing on their core application integration. Single pane of glass, less swivel chairing is basically what that means. Any of these jump out at you? Any of these statistics jump out at you?
Quite a few. I really, really, really like the was it 67% of the core application? I think it was what it was. AI is not going to program that for you. Sorry, it's just not. Unless you have an API that's pre-published that the API may be created. So back in our earlier story, talking about how AI will replace programming, there is a perfect example of AI will not benefit you there at all. If you have a core application, AI is going to have to do an entire code analysis, probably restructuring it and then republishing an API endpoint that can then do integrations from the outside. I think my biggest The biggest part to me that's rather poetic is that cybersecurity, there's a revenue source there, there's an opportunity, and this isn't engineered obsolescence. This is one of those scenarios where you can go to a customer and you can create that obsolescence as a, we will do an assessment and we will give you recommended courses and actions. If you would like, we will take some of those actions, but if you're doing it correct as an MSP, you will then be able to bring other MSPs or other talent in with things with talent outside of your existing in-house talent to extend your services with an engineered obsolescence to those particular individuals, which would then at some point let you understand the trends and, hey, maybe we should start hiring someone with, some real QA experience or some real pen test, experience, someone outside of your existing family in-house. And that will do two things. One, it'll give you new business opportunities, and two, it'll give you opportunities to grow your family internally, which ironically will give you new business opportunities. I love seeing this stuff, and we could talk about this over and over and over. Ray, you are an MSP. What are your thoughts on this? You know this better than most people, to say the least.
I can't tell if this is self-fulfilling prophecy or art imitating life or vice versa. These are the exact things we would expect. Last year, we covered a report. I'm not going to ask Phil to look for it because it was a while back, but we covered a report talking about how cybersecurity professionals were sorely needed, how there was a ton of market opportunity. There's lots of revenue to be gained from this. Absolutely makes sense. There's a market demand, which makes a market opportunity. Now, on the automation side, I just did a webinar with Channel Program, moderating a panel with Zen Contract, Immibot, and Security Studio, talking about how automation can help MSPs. And we have the link, we'll put it in the chat, or we'll put it in the show notes. But the point of it is, MSPs are struggling with the same things we see in this report. They're struggling how to implement it at scale. Now, there's some tools that have come out that are specific to MSPs to help them do so. And we're agnostic on the show, but Roost, Pia, and others, whoever you happen to use. And I think as those tools become more commonplace and we get more well-versed in those tools, I think that 37% of MSPs that find the implementation challenging are going to be able to take advantage of those things. I do think the implementation of AI will help the gaining of knowledge. It'll happen much faster because you can deep dive into the important stuff as opposed to going wide, which honestly is kind of in line with what Jason Huang said in our top story. So maybe he wasn't so far off, or maybe he was absolutely bonkers. Either way, let us know in the comments. Let us know in our Discord. We want to hear from you. But Tony, right now, I want to hear some notables for you, man. You got some for me?
I got some of those. Let's do it. In my first notable mention from bleepingcomputer.com, CISA cautions against using hacked Ivanti VPN gateways even after factory resets. CISA warns that despite factory resets, hackers could exploit vulnerabilities CVE-2023-46805, CVE-2024-21887, CVE-2024-2204, and CVE-2024-21893 to control Avanti VPN appliances, allowing severe attacks like authentication bypass and command line injection. Furthermore, Avanti's Integrity Checker Tool, ICT, failed to detect compromises, leading to false security. To address this, CISA advises agencies to assume compromised credentials, hunt for malicious activity, and apply patches. Although Avanti has released updates, CISA cautions against using compromised devices due to persistent risks. CISA previously ordered federal agencies to discontinue and reset all Avanti devices within 48 hours due to significant threats posed by hacks. Jumping into my next notable mention, SpeedVersion. From ArsTechnica.com, GitHub besieged by millions of malicious repositories in an ongoing attack. GitHub faces an ongoing onslaught of millions of malicious code repositories flooding the platform. These repositories, clones of legitimate ones, contain concealed malware aiming to steal passwords and cryptocurrency from developers. Despite GitHub's effort to remove them, the attack persists due to automation and manual uploads. Termed repo confusion, the attack preys on human error and social engineering to trick users into downloading and using malicious versions. Developers unknowingly execute malicious Python code, extracting sensitive data like authentication cookies and login credentials. The campaign, initiated in May 2023, has evolved through multiple phases, each marked by an escalation in tactics and targets.
In my first notable mention, Windows 11 gets Microsoft Copilot plugins and more AI upgrades. Written by Devendra Hardwar for Engadget. Microsoft has just improved its AI assistant, Copilot, in Windows 11 with new features and plugins to streamline user experience. Copilot now supports plugins for services like OpenTable and Instacart, allowing tasks like reservations and grocery orders within its chat window. Additionally, users can access system settings, turn on features like live captions, and view available Wi-Fi networks directly from Copilot. Windows 11 apps like Photos and Clipchamp, including Generative Erase and Silence Removal AI tools, have also received AI upgrades. Updates have rolled out, and Microsoft expects most features to be available with the optional March 2024 non-security preview update launch. In my next notable mention, Google is making search suggestions in Chrome more helpful, in a story written by Aisha Malik for TechCrunch. Google is improving search suggestions in Chrome to provide users with more helpful results. These improvements include showing suggestions based on what others are searching for, offering more images for suggested searches, and ensuring search suggestions are available even with a poor connection. Opening a new tab for users signed into Chrome on desktop will display suggestions related to their previous searches, helping them discover similar topics. Chrome will also display images for broader shopping categories and products, making it easier to find what users are looking for. These updates will roll out on Android and iOS, along with improved on-device capabilities to show search suggestions even in incognito mode. In our resource of the week, coming to Microsoft 365, coming to us from MSP for MSPs on T-365. Microsoft is rolling out a series of new features and enhancements to improve productivity and collaboration. From optimizing screen sharing for smoother video playback to enabling exclusive group chats for event organizers in town hall meetings, these updates aim to enhance user experience. All these changes and more in the link in the show notes. In our first feedback from the YouTubes, no nonsense, no unnecessary tangents, no clickbait or meaningless buzzwords. Just relevant industry news and analysis. Thank you, subscribed. Jaina SE4KV, I think you were watching the wrong episode. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks so much. We appreciate you. And we're glad you enjoyed it. At 777Saphir777 says, Mistral brings to the table a set of models that don't have U.S. cultural biases. That's a very interesting point. And we talked about the benefits of Mistral coming to the engagement. So it's nice to know. Thank you. At Les Frères de la Quote 1176 says, there's a very interesting presentation that was given by Guillaume Lample, one of the co-founders of Mistral, which is the name of the famous wind in the south of France, which is called Mistral 7B's Secrets, a talk. What Mr. brings to the table is a very condensed model, very close to GPT-4. Actually, in terms of energy efficiency and GPU requirements, Mistral Large is an order of magnitude smaller than GPT-4, which means you can easily adapt it to many companies. Furthermore, the model is much less censored than GPT-4 or Gemini and can accept your own set of constraints for a company. Mistral might sound a better deal than GPT-4 in the sense that you can have a much better control over the LLM, which might be important if you want to use it in your workflow and you need a tight control over your data. Excellent information. Thank you so much for sharing, and we appreciate you. And then lastly, we have from Reddit, we have multiple responses, including Coalition is directly targeting MSPs and the MDR market with their ploy here. They're using Sentinel-1 for those that are interested. And it's a pretty sweet scheme. Save insurance premiums by using our MDR rather than your MSP's exact same MDR. And I'll add to that, they're going to add an MDR that the MSP is not managing. Thank you for the feedback, and we appreciate it.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Starting on Wednesday the 6th and running through Friday, March 8th, an in-person event, Ride a Boom in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's also starting on the 6th, running through Thursday, another in-person event, Exchange in the United Kingdom. And then on Friday, March 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, MSP Confidential, presented by ScalePad. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have tomorrow, March 6th at 10 a.m., AI Roundup, episode 63. And on Thursday the 7th at 10 a.m., a standalone episode of MSP Dispatch, followed on Friday at 11 a.m. by a new episode of MSP Community Live. Are you engrossed by the intriguing world of AI? Do you find yourself relying more on ChatGPT every day? Are you fascinated by creating visuals with Midjourney or Stable Diffusion? Or could it be you're contemplating the deep-seated implications AI has for your professional field? If you're struggling to keep abreast of all the AI developments, don't worry. I'm Phil Buck, the host of AI Roundup, a weekly digest of all things AI. Make sure to check in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern for a concise roundup of the most captivating AI news right here on the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. And if you didn't, go ahead and hit it twice or three times or whatever the odd number of times is. You know what I'm saying. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we have a Discord where we post these stories all week long? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we're going to cover. As our friend Rich Banky says, make sure you tell a friend. Be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And if you have any questions, you can always just shoot us an email, news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or just call us. Leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. Ray, what an incredible show. So many things. A few things. We opened up the show with you didn't want to start a fire because of your 3D printer, so you kicked that out. We talked about fasting and me fasting for 2 days. And you're like, what, are you okay, Tony? Did you lose a bet? What happened? And then we jump right into I think it was boxing and jogging in the shower and then laughing and some awesome news coverage. Cybersecurity is actually a winning movement in the industry by a multi-billion dollar company. Ah, good show so far.
The one thing we missed, the one thing that wasn't recorded, was our discussion of elegant feces going around the cul-de-sac. And so those are actual conversations we have prior to the show. Unfortunately, it's not recorded at all, so you'll have to hit Tony up at CCF or next time you see him ask.
Oh my gosh.
So with that, Tony, close us out, man. We got to get out of here. Awesome episode. Loved it. Let's go home. Close us out, dude.
Let's land this plane. Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening and watching. We really, really appreciate it. Don't forget about the B-reel at the end. The production team does such an incredible job putting this whole thing together. It's not just Ray and I. We're just the pretty ones here. The back end people are, there's graphic people and people doing scripts and people doing the things that are popping up and down. And then the production, the post-production. So thank everyone. If you can't see them at CCF or if you have any comments, don't forget, multiple people see this and we love the comments. And with that, everyone, please stay educated and be safe out there.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
In my first notable mention, Windows 11 gets Microsoft Copilot plugins and more AI upgrades. In a story written by Devendra Hardware for Hardware.
A Russian-speaking ransomware syndicate has paralyzed the largest U.S. healthcare... One more time.